DeepSeek is designing its own AI chip. Reuters broke the story this morning, and if you've been following DeepSeek's trajectory, this is the logical next step from a team that's consistently engineered around hardware constraints. They built some of the most compute-efficient model architectures we've seen, precisely because they couldn't get top-tier NVIDIA silicon. Now, they're going after the silicon itself.
Welcome to AI Revolution for Tuesday, July 7th, 2026. I'm Priya Nair. That's Sam Kim. We've got a packed show today. DeepSeek's chip ambitions and what they mean for the compute landscape. NVIDIA's next-generation server rack just got delayed by more than a year, and we'll talk about how those two stories connect. We'll dig into the first confirmed AI-assisted ransomware attack and what it actually tells us about the threat model. Anthropic got caught running a secret monitoring program on Chinese users, and we'll cover the accelerating churn at the top of the model leaderboard, plus a few quick hits on Chinese model adoption, Cloudflare's new bot controls, and the compute credit arms race. Let's get into it.
So, DeepSeek designing custom silicon. The context here matters a lot. U.S. export controls have progressively restricted China's access to NVIDIA's highest-end GPUs, the H100s, then the H200s, the Blackwell series. DeepSeek's response has been fascinating. Rather than just falling behind, they developed architectural innovations like their mixture of experts approach in DeepSeek V3 and R1 that squeezed remarkable performance out of less powerful hardware. They turned a constraint into a research advantage. Now they're going vertical.
And the comparison everyone's going to make is Google's TPU program. Google started designing custom AI accelerators back in 2013, and TPUs are now in their sixth generation. They give Google independence from NVIDIA's pricing and roadmap, and they're optimized specifically for Google's workloads. DeepSeek is attempting something similar, but from a very different starting position. They're a startup, not a hyperscaler, and they're operating under active export restrictions on the manufacturing side, too. Getting advanced chips fabricated is its own challenge when you're a Chinese company right now.
Right. The key question is what process node they can access. If they're designing chips but can't get them manufactured at the leading edge, say TSMC's most advanced nodes, then the chip's theoretical design advantage might be partially offset by manufacturing limitations. But even a chip that's optimized for their specific model architectures on a slightly older process could be a meaningful improvement over using general-purpose GPUs that weren't designed for their workloads.
And this connects directly to our second story. NVIDIA's Kyber NVL144, their next-generation AI server rack, has been pushed back more than a year, to 2028. This is according to SemiAnalysis, and the reason is circuit board manufacturing problems. On top of that, the more powerful Rubin Ultra variant has been canceled entirely.
The NVL144 was supposed to be a significant step up from the current GB200 NVL72 racks. You're going from 72 GPUs in a rack to 144, with the interconnect and cooling complexity that implies. Circuit board manufacturing at this density is genuinely hard. You're dealing with signal integrity issues, power delivery challenges, thermal management across a much larger board area. These are real engineering problems, not just schedule slip.
The market impact was immediate. Asian suppliers in NVIDIA's chain lost up to double-digit percentage market value, and analysts are flagging AMD and Google as potential beneficiaries. If you're a hyperscaler planning a major infrastructure build-out and your NVIDIA timeline just moved out by a year, you're going to look seriously at alternatives.
The irony is interesting. NVIDIA's dominance has been so complete that any stumble creates outsized market reaction. And when you put this next to the DeepSeek chip story, you see a theme. The assumption that NVIDIA will be the singular bottleneck and singular supplier for AI compute is getting challenged from multiple directions simultaneously. Not that NVIDIA is in trouble, they're still generating enormous revenue, but the compute landscape is becoming more heterogeneous.
Let's shift to security. TechCrunch reported on what's being called the first AI-run ransomware attack. Last week, the headlines were pretty breathless about fully autonomous AI cybercrime. The follow-up reporting paints a more nuanced picture.
Here's what actually happened. An AI agent autonomously executed the technical steps of a ransomware attack. The lateral movement, the encryption deployment, the ransom note generation. That's real, and it's notable. But a human selected the target, set up the command and control infrastructure, and provided the stolen credentials the agent needed to get initial access. So the AI handled execution, but the human handled planning, targeting, and setup.
Which honestly might be the more dangerous threat model than full autonomy. Think about what this division of labor enables. A skilled attacker who previously could run maybe a handful of targeted ransomware operations simultaneously can now potentially scale to out dramatically. The AI handles the tedious technical execution, while the human focuses on target selection and infrastructure, the parts that require judgment and real-world knowledge. It's a force multiplier.
Exactly. And from a defensive standpoint, this changes what you're looking for. the AI-executed portions of the attack may actually be more consistent and methodical than a human operator, which could make them easier to detect with behavioral analysis if you know the patterns. But they might also be faster. The dwell time between initial access and encryption could compress significantly.
The honest assessment is that this is an important threshold crossed, but the sky is falling framing from last week was premature. The near-term risk is human-AI collaboration in cybercrime, not Skynet running ransomware campaigns.
Now Anthropic. This one is uncomfortable. Ars Technica reported that Anthropic secretly ran a monitoring experiment that tracked Claude users identified as Chinese. This was undisclosed to users, and an engineer has confirmed the experiment has since ended, but Anthropic didn't proactively disclose it. It was discovered externally.
The tension here is obvious. Anthropic has built a significant portion of its brand on being the safety-focused, responsible AI lab. They've publicly advocated against surveillance applications of AI. And then they're running an undisclosed monitoring program targeting users by nationality. Whatever the internal justification was, maybe they were studying misuse patterns. Maybe it was related to export compliance. The lack of transparency is the problem.
For enterprise customers deploying Claude in sensitive environments, this raises a concrete question. What other monitoring or data collection practices might be happening that aren't in the terms of service? And this is a general problem across frontier labs, not just Anthropic. When you're sending proprietary data through a third-party model API, you're trusting that vendor's data governance practices. This incident suggests that trust should be verified, not assumed.
Let's talk about the model leaderboard turn. The Epoch Capabilities Index data shows something striking. GPT-4 held the top spot for about a year, starting in early 2024. Since Claude 3 Opus took the lead in February 2024, the top position has changed hands 17 times, with a median tenure of just 7 weeks.
The technical story here is that we're in a phase where multiple labs have converged on similar architectural approaches and training techniques. The low-hanging fruit in scaling laws in RLHF has been picked. So each successive model is eking out smaller capability gains, but doing so more frequently. You're getting incremental improvements every couple of months rather than step function jumps every year.
The practical implication for anyone running production AI systems is real. If the best available model changes every 7 weeks, how do you handle model evaluation, testing, and deployment? Most enterprises can't revalidate their entire AI stack on that cadence. It argues for abstraction layers that make model swapping easier, and for being honest about whether the marginal capability difference between model number 15 and model number 17 actually matters for your specific use case.
Often it doesn't. If your application works well on a model from 3 months ago, the fact that something slightly better exists on a benchmark doesn't mean you need to switch.
Quick hits. Chinese AI models now regularly account for more than 30% of traffic on OpenRouter, the API aggregator. The driver is straightforward. They're significantly cheaper than OpenAI and Anthropic APIs. This is developers voting with their wallets, and it's a structural competitive threat to US labs' developer ecosystem share.
Cloudflare is rolling out granular bot controls that separate AI crawlers into three categories: search, training, and agent. Starting September 15th, training and agent bots will be blocked by default on ad-supported pages. Given Cloudflare's infrastructure footprint, this meaningfully shapes what data future models can be trained on and how AI agents can interact with the open web.
And OpenAI and Anthropic are handing out enormous compute credits to attract startups, individual offers exceeding $3 million, with combined credits at Y Combinator alone potentially reaching $800 million per year. Both companies are trying to lock in the next generation of AI-native companies ahead of their IPOs.
Looking ahead, the thread I keep pulling on is the fragmentation of AI compute. DeepSeek designing chips, NVIDIA delayed, AMD and Google positioning as alternatives, Chinese models gaining share partly because they've been optimized for efficiency under hardware constraints. We may be entering a period where the compute monoculture breaks down, and that has cascading effects on everything from model architecture choices to pricing to geopolitics.
And on the security side, I think the ransomware story deserves ongoing attention. The specific human AI division of labor it demonstrated, human strategy, AI execution, is a template that's going to get refined. Security teams should be modeling their defenses against that specific collaboration pattern, not against some hypothetical fully autonomous attacker. The Anthropic story also underscores something we've said before. The governance gap at Frontier Labs is real, and enterprise buyers need to trust vendor trust claims as hypotheses to be tested, not facts to be accepted.
The model churn data is worth sitting with too. 7 week leadership tenure with shrinking capability gaps. At some point, the frontier benchmark competition becomes less meaningful than who can deliver the most reliable, cost-effective, well-integrated platform. We might be approaching that point.
That's our show for today. Show notes and links to everything we covered are at cleartext.fm.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.